Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast to the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and sadly, this episode is not discounted for Cyber Monday. And with me, I have...
Don't ask me how much I spent on Black Friday. Just don't. Just don't. Move on.
And...
Let's pour out for a different Tom.
We lost the real one this weekend.
Yep.
But the odds are good we're probably going to get a shiny gold Tom. Or yellow, or whatever those Toms are made out of. Always tough to lose your heroes, man. But I guess we won't find out how that ends until fucking, end of the year?
Yeah, well, you know what they say. Should have had them bronze.
Of course. Anyway, this is episode 156. So, how has everything been going with you guys over this past Thanksgiving vacation break thing?
Well, Thanksgiving was good. Ate way too much food, as always, which is a good thing. Of course, did a little bit of the Black Friday shopping online, like a civilized person. Unlike all these friggin' cretins who are camping out in the middle of the night, going out to the stores on Thanksgiving afternoon.
Weird savages. Asses.
Yeah. But then Friday came around and I had to go back to work. Rough weekend. But that's what happens when your hotel is right next to an outlet mall.
Oof.
Oh, dear.
I don't know why there has to be a mile of traffic to get into an outlet mall.
Ouch.
Savages! Fucking savages, all of them.
Damn.
Yeah, so I had to work the whole weekend, which wasn't fun, because a lot of people are messy and savages. But at least I have too much stuff that I amassed over the Black Friday holiday sales, because that's just what I do. So I didn't get to do any of the Record Store Day stuff because, well, I had to work Friday morning.
Plus, you know, it's always... Record Store Day, so who cares about their Black Friday stuff?
We were always waiting for April anyway.
Yep. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see. Thanksgiving has been, it's been fine. I mean, it's been fine. Like, I had a day off once. Although, considering this week, well, we got... It's been work, and more work. I mean, I got off that, at least I was off Thursday and Saturday, but yeah, man, I've been working my ass off. And yeah, I have to wake up at six, well, not six, more like four in the morning, get ready, and they say, I'm getting kind of tired of sleepy of this, because, yeah.
Damn.
We'll say my Sentai sales stuff has arrived on the weekend, thankfully, yes. Although I didn't spend, well, not as much as our other person here, because from what I heard, you must have a lot more money than me, so I get why you spend that much stuff. Where I just like, yeah, I'll just get these two things.
Yeah, that's how it be when the sales are... Good sales. But, anyway, as for me, well, guess who, in a surprise twist, didn't get to see Cattle Decapitation last week? Because apparently I got off work too late, and by the time I got there, the venue doors were completely closed, no one worked in the box office, so no way I could have gotten in, even if I had decided to pay the Ticketmaster tax and buy ahead of time. So I drove all the way out there for nothing. I was like, nearly an hour. Shit.
Damn.
That sucks.
That's some bullshit.
But on the bright side, at least there was turkey, ham, fucking pecan cheesecake. There was food. Food usually makes me happy. And as far as my Black Friday shopping, I did indulge in a few things. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, fucking Catherine Fullbody, Nier Automata Game of the Yorha Edition, and my lone Blu-ray release, Godzilla King of the Monsters, which I did end up rewatching over the weekend, and, you know what? Fuck all y'all, that movie is still hype as shit. Don't give a fuck what anyone says. Anyway, speaking of movies, I also did go out to see Knives Out. I liked the movie because it had knives that were out. No, seriously, it's a good murder mystery. Fucking great movie. Y'all should watch it. It's great. Aside from that, well, I mean, that's basically about it for the past week. So, we're about to get into it with our usual business. Starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. Of course, as always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can always follow along whenever you want to listen and have opinions on these songs. Kind of a light week song-wise, so why don't we just get into it right away. Start us off with some music from a group called The Professionals, which is a duo consisting of course, Madlib and Oh No.
As you recently heard from Professionals, they did produce that one last check off the previous those from singles, the one before Freddy Gibbs. It was like the last entry. So they have this new album coming out. This January. Starting off the new decade with the Madlib but Oh No. Which that's quite nice. Which of course he has called The Professionals, and you know, at least, you know, January 17 via Madlib Invasion. So they got a new track which is called Superhumans, and it features rappers Elzai and Chino XL. And I gotta say, it's got that weird sci-fi type of sound, which you gotta have the super power, like that type of loop around, which okay, I can dig that, and of course you got the right, and of course, like, I know, like, Oh No is a rapper as well. I talked about the lyrics of which I think none were present to look at. I heard stuff from Elzai before, which okay, he's quite good, and so is Tino XL. The beat just very the beat just got kicked in. It does sound very good. I'm really digging this track. Like, especially, you know, since now got more into Oh No as well. Since being younger brother of a producer that most hip hop heads will know and love, which I do too. But yeah, look forward to something to start the new year out.
Yep, that's going to be interesting to check out on the 17th. And now moving on to our next track here, another major release for 2020 coming out on Valentine's Day. The newest album from folk metalers Kveller Talk. They've announced that February 14th will see the release of Splid, which I assume means something in a foreign dialect, but I don't know. I don't speak any language other than English. And even then, I don't speak English all that well. But yeah, here's our first single from the album, Bratibran. I'm probably pronouncing that horribly, but yeah, I mean, it's not as folk as I was expecting. I mean, sometimes their stuff gets really folk, but this song, honestly, to be honest, it kind of has like a weird vibe of like Mastodon meets Lynyrd Skynyrd. Like, it's got some really steady driving riffs and drum fills that are kind of reminiscent of like a Blood Mountain era style, but with a little bit more of a folk-ish twang to it. And even some like really, The way some of the guitar work is constructed is, again, where I'm kind of getting the Skynyrd vibes from. It's kind of repetitive in nature. It's a very similar kind of riffs and grooves that are repeating throughout, but it's a decently catchy jam with a lot of hooks and kind of even a few like fist-pumping kind of fuck yeah moments here and there. I'll keep an eye out on this. I'm not sure I'll get to it right away, but good song.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. Like a fusion of agro-punk and 80s thrash with some great guitar work and open chord riffs scattered around. It's pretty catchy. I like it. I'm interested.
Anyway, moving on to our next track here. Well, I suppose we got to cover some deathcore eventually. It's not my favorite thing in the world to do unless it's, you know, anything other than like the generic stuff. But unfortunately, that's not what we got here. So apparently it's been a while since Beneath the Mask have actually put anything out. Like 7-6 years, I believe. Well, yeah, they're coming back next year, February 28th, with their newest album, Fearmonger. And we have the lead-off single, Autonomous Mind, which I put the wrong link here in the fucking document because this week is pissing me off, and I'm tired, and I'm losing track of time. I hate everything. And this song doesn't help because, I mean, it's deathcore, all right, man. You got a lot of those big, meaty chugs full of really tappy, noodly leads? Check. Is there weird production that makes everything sound weirdly synthetic and processed? Especially with, like, those tapping leads and the weird stuttering in the guitars and the drums sounding unnaturally precise with their gravity blasts and their two perfect triggered double kick runs? Check. Goddamn-tastic. Are there breakdowns aplenty? Check-a-rooney. And, I don't know. It's whatever. But, like, I don't know. It's just, it's there, I guess.
Yeah, this kind of stuff does nothing for me. My notes say the following. This sounds like if Napalm Death fucked Rings of Saturn. Mm. Take that however you want.
Oh, man, that comparison hurts, because I actually like Napalm Death. And my feelings on Rings of Saturn are very well known at this point.
So do I. But I just hear Barney's vocals going with these possibly triggered drum patterns and possibly halftime. I'm trying to be fair and nice because, you know, as we all know from our good friend Ivan Moody, bands are sensitive to these kinds of things. By the way, a new Five Finger Death Punch song sucks.
Oh, God, you actually listened to that? Dude, I was just...
Someone had to.
No, we didn't! Jesus, man. You're allowed to all say right, no to right. things. Jeez.
Well, if I said no to things, I wouldn't have a vast collection of crap. Why would I? And okay, that's how we enough. Fill time.
Yeah, anyway, time to move on to track number 4 here. This past week's entry into the Adult Swim Singles program, courtesy of our old friend, Mr. DJ PayPal, who sadly is not touring with DJ Bitcoin, or DJ Apple Pay, or whatever the hell Samsung has. But yeah, the track is called Uh-Oh, spelled with two H's in each, and this is one of the more interesting songs I've heard from him, like, in a while, because it is definitely, absolutely that footwork sound, but there's a heavy emphasis on jazzier elements to it. Like, it's got this really nice, like, jazz piano thing running throughout a lot of the song, and a lot of the choppy, wonky-ass percussion that you usually expect is really filtered through stuff like skittering snares and even a lot of very clearly obvious ride cymbal work. It pretty much feels like a really great, like, footwork riff on, like, classic, you know, jazz and bebop type songs, and it's really interesting. It is, as always, a jam, and it slaps. Bangs.
Yeah, I would say this is definitely one of the best DJ PayPal songs I heard in quite a while. Like, it just hit me like right where it begins, like from beginning to end. Just it's very danceable. You got all the footwork blueprint on it. You know, with the mix of, you know, jazz people, all that type of shit that makes it seem like you're in a dance hall. Like a very like futuristic dance hall, but yeah, like this, yeah, this shit, but yeah, this shit bangs.
Mm-hmm. Certainly does. And now we go on to our last two songs here, both of them coming courtesy of the same gentleman, that being Mr. Abel Tesfaye, aka The Weeknd. There's no news of a follow-up to Starboy on the horizon, but we can only assume the gears are already in motion, because we got, as I said, two new songs from the guy. First of these is called Blinding Lights, or at least the first of these that I listened to. And yeah, this one definitely sounds like The Weeknd is leaning heavily into a sort of synthwave kick. Like, literally, this is what I imagine if, like, Carpenter Brute started producing for pop musicians. It's that exact same kind of, like, tweeting synth melodies and that super saturated, like, low-end bass with that really upbeat, like a steady drum kick pattern. It's not as slow and moody as his normal output. As a pure, you know, instrumental piece, I really like the beat here. Hell, it kind of sounds like a synthwave version of like Michael Cimbello's Maniac, which, you know, would be appropriate for The Weeknd's particular fixations. But the lyrics are ultimately nothing special. It's just the usual shit. And then there's Heartless, which has lines such as, "I've been running through the pussy, need a dog pound. So much pussy, it be falling out the pocket. Metro Boomin turn this hoe into a mosh pit." Which, I mean, if The point of the song is to convey that he's a heartless bastard, and these are things that heartless bastards say, so technically mission accomplished? I don't know. I don't want to re-listen to that song again, man. Don't make me. Please don't make me.
Yeah, out of the two songs I've listened to, I listened to both of these songs, and yeah, Blinding Lights is the more interesting one for a reason, because it does have that, you know, that very, you know, 80s synthwave sound that really does hit me when it plays. Like it's like something you would hear off. It's like something you hear off of 80s horror movie, which that it just gets in you. Heartless is just kind of dull. It's really, even with the trap people dimensional boom, it's like it just doesn't do much for me. You put Heartless last. I was wondering, okay, you could put that first because, you know, well, Blind Lights is the more interesting one. Because I want to say that one for last, but yeah, I get it. Like, but yeah, this is, I mean, you got one hit, one miss. I mean, the lyrics aren't that special, but yeah, it's some typical weekend stuff. I will say, yeah, the better one is definitely the Blinding Lights one, but yeah, who knows what new album might come out. I mean, it's been almost 3 to 4 years since Starboy, and maybe, well, I guess 1 year since that EP he did. I mean, that'd be something around for 2020. Hopefully after all the shit he doing with Uncut Gems, which comes out in about 2 weeks or a week.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll know something about then. I think I noticed once this point never coming on well on Blind Lights, because you know that's what the opinion will be more interested in.
Yep, that's very true. Anyway, that about does it for the song discussions. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we got some decent news topics to discuss here. So stay tuned. And we are back. So to start off the news today, we got, oh, fuck me, the Chainsmokers.
I thought you were dead, or I thought your careers were dead.
We can wish all we want, but unfortunately, magic is not real, so we cannot wish them out of existence. And apparently, their attempts to work into other... into the general pop culture ethos knows no bounds, as apparently they may be coming to a streaming service near you. Looks like the two of them have apparently signed on as executive producers for a series on the streaming service Freeform called...
It's a TV channel.
Are you sure about that? I'm pretty sure Freeform is a streaming service.
It's a television channel. It's the channel that airs the 700 Club when they don't want to, and all those Disney movies... And the channel that aired Hocus Pocus like 36 times in October.
Also on my Disney, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With an asterisk, but again, yeah.
If you say so. Just sounds like some shit that would be made up for a background gag in an actual television show. But anyway, Freeform, they're working on a show called Demo, which will follow, quote, an indie rocker who abandons her failing rock band to start writing pop songs. Though at first she's eager to shed her past, she'll soon discover that the best songs tell the deepest truths, if only she can find the strength to tell hers. Ugh. Yeah, this sounds like something that would be tangentially associated with Disney crap, alright? Just, why? Why, Chainsmokers? Why?
Okay, and as you read... As you read that, it says, "So songs like Closer, why? And no, why? That song is horrible. It is still horrible. I don't give a fuck what none of y'all say. That song is fucking trash."
Yeah, it is the kind of song that only exists to be played in torture chambers. Just
now that drop fucking sucks.
Yes, it does. But on the bright side, at least it's on a channel that no one watches. Anyway, we'll continue to laugh at that and ignore its existence and move on to our next topic here. So, hey, does anybody remember this past summer when fucking DJ Khaled got salty as shit because his fucking whatever no-name-ass pop album that no one gave a shit about got beaten at the top of the charts by our boy Tyler, the Creator?
Yeah, that was fun.
Good times.
Stay salty. But apparently, I'm guessing he threw enough of a hissy fit that it actually did something in the broad scheme of things, because the Billboard has recently announced that it's changing its rules on bundling as it applies to, the charting success of albums and whatnot. According to the new rules, which are going to go into effect January 3rd, a merchandise album bundle must now cost at least $3.49 more than the merchandise, because $3.49 is the minimum price of an album to qualify for the charts. Okay? In practice, as noted by the Wall Street Journal, that means like a $40 piece of apparel with a download of an album would now cost at least $43.50 in order to count as an album sale. Along with that rule, bundled items must now be available for purchase concurrently and individually on the same website. In addition to that, they can only be sold via an artist's official direct-to-consumer web store and not via third-party sites.
That's the one big catch, because the problem with DJ Khaled is that he was doing it through a third party.
Are you telling me you couldn't afford your own to sell shit on your own site? Aren't you DJ Khaled? Don't you have, all the money to do that? You know, it's not like you're some freaking hardcore punk band from Michigan that needs to rely on, indie merch or Bandcamp to distribute your shit.
Oh. And, you know, that price, $3.49, that probably says a lot about how the value of music has just plummeted over the last 20 years.
It makes me very, very sad.
Yeah.
But whatever, congratulations, you big crybaby. I guess you got a rule change after all. Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Being salty because fucking everybody wanted to listen to, an album with more quality and depth to it, rather than whatever the fuck you were throwing in there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why you listened to that album. Yeah, Kelly had nothing to offer. Not a damn thing.
But anyway, speaking of throwing things, let's move on to our next topic. And Mr. Alex, what can you tell us about this All Elite Wrestling that everyone seems to be going on about recently?
Well, I can tell you that they've been putting on some very quality programming that you can see every Wednesday night on a certain television network at the same time as another quality program. But just last week, there was a bit of an interesting debut. A new team called The Butcher and The Blade.
Sounds pretty metal.
Yeah, The Blade is wrestler Braxton Sutter, who's been around the scene for a while. And his partner, The Butcher, is one Andy Williams of Every Time I Die.
Wait, he finally made it to television?
Yeah, since he made his debut at, I believe it was, Joey Janela's Spring Break in 2017, he's been doing more of this. And seems to me that he's going to have a, I want to say prominent role, but I don't know how prominent it's going to be. But yeah, he got a good television debut, taking out one Cody Rhodes in front of hundreds of thousands of people watching live. So, yeah, good for him.
Yeah, I figure that's probably got to be a pretty promising career path, I wonder how much money he's pulling in from that. If any. I don't know how wrestlers make money anymore, because the business practices always sound quite shady.
Yeah, it's mostly just merchandise, share of ticket sales, and hopefully enough to eat, or, rent a car.
True. That seems quite important. So, yeah, good for Andy. Hopefully this continues into something, you know, very fruitful. Humble beginnings, after all. So, anyway, time to move on to our next story here. And this is a prime example of some what-the-fuck-is-wrong-with-you sort of nonsense. Now, over this past weekend was the Mexico iteration of a Slipknot's Knotfest festival. Wow, that was a fucking tongue twister. I gotta find a better way to phrase that. But unfortunately, there was a bit of an issue. Apparently, due to audience members breaking through the stage barrier and attempting to fix it, the key word is attempting, repeatedly, Slipknot announced that they had to cancel their own performance. Now, before we move on, I just want to say something here. Like, I get it. I really do. I understand the frustration with wanting to see your own favorite band play. I mean, remember, Slipknot's my favorite band. And then due to circumstances beyond seemingly anyone's control, although technically it was in the audience's control, y'all were making it worse, but anyway. Yeah, that just sucks. You want to see your favorite band, shit gets out of hand, and then you can't. Hell, I had that frustration with the cattle decapitation thing literally this past week. Now, when faced with a situation like this, there's one of two paths you could potentially take. One, you could cut your losses, go home, perhaps there's a chance that the band will be generous enough to reschedule a performance, and who knows, perhaps even honor the ticket commitments from this particular festival. It could happen, it's been done by other bands before. Or two, you could do this. What they did was go up on stage to the equipment that was already there, specifically set up for their previous opener, Evanescence, stormed the stage, and set the drum kit on fire.
The fuck?
And yes, there's video! I'm watching it right now. They're literally, like, ritualistically, like, prancing around it. It's like, they're worshipping it like it's a fire god or something. Like,
fuck?
Jesus, this is... That's your response? Like, dude, that's just gonna prevent Evanescence from performing, too.
I'm gonna light some shit on fire. I should get out now.
Apparently, and yes, Evanescence were made aware of it. They made a post of it on Instagram where, to their credit, they seemed a lot more level-headed about it than they really should have been. They said, quote, "We are heartbroken. We didn't get to play for you tonight, Mexico City. Your safety, your life is more important than any show. We love you, and we will be back soon. That's a promise." Although you can feel, read between the lines, you can hear them, and especially Will Hunt, saying, "You goddamn fucking shits." What, you think drum sets grow on trees? Well, I mean, the wood for them, technically. But that's not the point here.
You trying to kill us? You dumb motherfuckers.
Jesus. Like, there's ways to handle this like an adult. This is not what an adult does. Just, the fuck?
This sucks.
Some psycho fucking shit.
Now you just made yourself look bad. In front of your favorite bands, probably.
Yeah, they probably hate you now. Like, forever. God. And ever. And ever. I'll repeat this shit all your life. They hate you forever. Yeah, you get the point.
Anyway, let's move on to our last news topic here. Literally coming out just today. The 2020 lineup for the Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival. Taking place May 15th through the 17th at Mapfre Stadium in Columbus, Ohio. And yes, this is another one of the five major festivals this summer where Metallica will be performing double unique sets. They'll be playing on Friday and Sunday, with the in-between Saturday headliner being, oh hey, look, Slipknot again.
Hey, look at that.
Please do not destroy the barricade.
It's there for a reason, people.
Anyway, your other scheduled acts for this festival are Deftones, Bring Me the Horizon. Evanescence, for the love of God, if you torch their drum set again, I swear to almighty heaven.
Yeah.
Fucking Uncle Aaron Lewis, for some reason. Sublime with Rome.
Ew.
Rancid. Dropkick Murphys. Cypress Hill. Pennywise. Royal Blood. The Pretty Reckless.
Ugh.
Alter Bridge. Anthrax. Flatbush Zombies.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's Pop Evil. There's Hell Yeah. There's Ghost Main. Suicidal Tendencies. Testament.
All right.
Dance Gavin Dance. Ice Nine Kills. Sleeping with Sirens.
Yeah.
The Darkness.
Nice.
Three question marks followed by two question marks. Knocked Loose. Fucking Code Orange. Power Trip.
Yeah, it got better.
Saint Asonia. Dirty Honey. Ginger. City Morgue. Bones UK. Airborne. Fire from the Gods. Dinosaur Pileup. Death Rocks. Counterfeit, Crobot, Cherry Bomb, Dead, Goodbye June, Brutus, Three Teeth, Broken Love, Killstation, Brass Against, Crowlands, Ego Kill Talent, Dreg, Bloody Wood, 0936, and more TBA.
All right. I gotta say, this does sound a little bit better than Epicenter, mostly because the level of good to bad is much more in favor of the good.
Yep.
Or at least the acceptably average.
Plus, you know, who doesn't love themselves a good Metallica and Slipknot sandwich?
I know.
How very, very tasty. But again, don't set anything on fire! God damn it! The band can do that themselves! That's when they have pyrotechnics experts and not, you know, fucking Steve from Kentucky.
Yeah. Stay behind the barricade. Stay behind the barricade. It's there for a reason.
Anyway, time to move on to the last bit of business here, since that's all the news wrapped up there. The new album releases for December 6th. 2019. Not a whole lot, but we have to do this by obligation. First up, there's a new album from The Who called Who, which we're sure will be album of the year for a Mr. Joseph Pera. There's the anticipated new compilation from Burial, Tunes 2011 to 2019. There's a posthumous project from Triple X Tentacion with Bad Vibes Forever. There's the new Camila Cabello album, Romance. Oh, God damn it, the Chainsmokers again.
No.
With World War Joy, which is appropriate because I'm sure this album will be a catastrophic event that will devastate lives and bring no joy to anyone. And a new project from Liam Payne with LP1. Anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or of Azure, where... Oh boy, Star Wars time again, time for my rewatch period, because the movie's coming out, so be ready for my various thoughts on these old-ass movies. And the new movies, too.
Oh yeah, that is coming up soon. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As always on Twitter at Metaven Media, where I don't know, I just be there from time to time. And of course, on my site, mynhyperdogwordpress.com. As you can tell by, well, you know, the past weekend, I released two more episodes of Old Fashioned Next Gen, BK Squad. Now all three episodes in there, and what the fourth are going to be, I don't fucking know. I'm just waiting to see. It's time. I gotta do shit.
Yep. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and CuriousCat at Rob Barracuda. Email me at robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever new episodes go up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuroRezzo. Like us on Facebook. Be sure to visit the website SuroResolution.com for reviews, this podcast, Podcast O&A, all of that general shit. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat if you want to continue to find just the cheapest deals on games and anime for your loved ones. And of course, as always, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you for joining us this week. This will be the last regular episode, at least until we get to the year-end shenanigans. Because, as always, we need time to prepare. What, do you think we're just going to put out our list at, like, the start of November or the end of November? Nuh-uh, we wait until we have marinated and stuff until we are good and ready.
A.K.A. Christmas.
Yeah, so around that time, basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, keep a lookout for that to go up. And until then, don't set drum sets on fire! What the fuck?
You fucking savages! So, yeah, turn that back around.
Yeah, y'all the real savages.